Flashbang 1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with Jesse Rogers, the fastest man in Northbrook. I'm Jonathan Hood. He's in for Cap. Time for Shot or No Shot brought to you by
Glove Hawthorne Betting Bars, featuring horse racing, video slots, and sports betting throughout Chicagoland.
All right. By the way, we say good morning to Charlie Bevins. Hand him a condom, please. Right there to your left. Hand him. Right on the top of the mic there. Hand him that. Go in and get your condom, please. Thank you. You got to have that.
You always have to have that on.
You got to have your coverage. You're riding dirty. Can't do that, Charlie.
It's unknown.
you can't be riding dirty, man. Got to get him a nice mic cover. Charlie Bevins, he is here for Shot or No Shot. All right, Charlie, good morning to you, buddy.
Good morning, guys. How are we today? Schedule's out. We're feeling good?
Yeah. It was just good to be able to see it all come out, the schedule come out yesterday. And I know as we move forward, we're going to look at quirks of the schedule. But it's just like, it's to me, there's no sacred cows. Before Amazon was getting the least of the games, I think they're going to get some good games, ESPN, everybody else. So as Jesse and I discussed yesterday, nothing beats the NFL.
Next hour, we'll do the playoffs.
I mean, it's amazing. And for guys like Jesse and I, it sounds ridiculous. Why is there a celebration of the schedule? Because it's a celebration of the National Football League.
Yeah, it's fun. It's crazy. Fun. What I said yesterday, though, they could add some mystery to it and not even know the opponents until they release it all. But that's a whole other story.
But then
it's still fun.
But then there's way too many leaks, too. Way too many.
Yeah, I guess so. But this is fun. This is fun to go through it now and then do it again in September and then look back and see how we did.
Yeah. It just
and the thing is I didn't like mine as soon as I said it because it was too easy. Like, oh yeah, the games they're favored, they'll probably win the home games. I have them like 1-7 or 8 on the road, whatever. Like, no, that none of that's gonna happen. It's gonna be upside down.
Maybe, but it's the NFL.
That's what I'm saying.
You don't know.
So unpredictable.
And this is what keeps people into the sport though, just year round. Because if you are in markets like Kansas City, Pittsburgh got to a good start, but they're coming back to life as you knew that was going to happen, right?
Yeah.
But at least you're invested all throughout the offseason. If you're a baseball fan, imagine a sport where it's like, man, I know we're in Pittsburgh, but man, we're going to turn this around. Look what we added in the offseason. Look how much money we spent. Say there's a cap in Major League Baseball and everyone was the same, right? Oh, man. Now everyone feels like they have a shot.
Yeah, then it's about scouting and development and coaching and stuff. It's not just about your payroll.
Right.
No, that's what the NFL is all about. The fact that Green Bay can compete with the New York teams. That's what the beauty of the NFL is.
The NFL reveals that if you have a good front office, you know how to spend your money, allocate your money well, you have a chance like anybody else.
And if you can coach up your players.
Yeah, like anybody else. Yeah. Baseball, not the same.
No, definitely not the same.
So it's definitely not the same. All right, Charlie, what do you have?
All right, well, we've been talking schedule release all morning, of course, and the Bears have 4 primetime games. By the way, shout out to Carmen and Yurko for setting that over under at 3.5. I think they were almost right on the money. Mm-hmm. Shot or no shot, the Bears getting 4 primetime games shows the NFL believes that they are a team on the upswing.
Well, that's a shot, and I guess 4 is fine. Again, there's 2 reasons. One is the market. People want the Bears on the market. Like, there's been so many times where we've seen the Bears on a Monday night or a Thursday night and get completely embarrassed. But I think that even with 3 wins, it's amazing how much coverage this team gets. At some point, we're going to look over our shoulders at the TVs in here, the old National Bank Studios. There will be a Justin Fields segment on the Get Up. Why? And you say, well, they won 3 games, right? People are interested.
That's why I'm going to say no shot, because the Lions need to be good to be on prime time. The Bear, how many times were they on last year? 3 or 4, right?
Lions or?
No, the Bears.
Yeah.
So they're going to be on 3 or 4 almost every year. So I don't think it's a sign that the league thinks they're on the upswing. I think it's because they're the Chicago Bears. A team like the Lions, they need to be on the upswing to make it to prime time. The Bears don't.
And Charlie, you have to research that. I believe it was at least 3 times.
It was at
the
least
Bears.
3.
Yes.
So, Washington.
So that's my point. And we knew they weren't on the upswing last year.
And then Monday night against New England.
So that's 3 right there for a terrible team.
The anomaly. The Patriots game. Oh, I'll be walking.
That was a good one, though.
I will be walking the hallways of my home, still trying to figure out like X, Y, Z. I'll just be trying. How the hell do they do that?
The Bears, you know what Belichick does to young quarterbacks. All the narratives were blown up for that game.
My God, how did that happen? All right, what else do you have, Charlie?
Okay, so one of those primetime games is going to be a Thursday night matchup against the Panthers in Week 10. I personally believe that these teams are going to be tied at the hip for a while after that trade. Ryan Poles essentially gave them Bryce Young. Shot or no shot, this is a must-win game for the Bears and Ryan Poles after that trade.
I'm going with a shot, but mostly because the schedule. It's right smack dab in the middle of four road games. Two before that game, two after. So I think it's a must-win just because of where they are in the season as much as it is the trade.
That's a no-shot, and you know what must-win means in sports. You know what that means. I mean, it's a must-win if you're going through a losing streak.
Which, you know, after the Chargers and Saints, they might be.
I mean, well, I got to put a couple of losses. Like, but if you feel like I do, again, initially, that the Bears would lose against the Chargers and the Saints on the road and then come home to the Panthers, is it a must-win if you're going through a losing streak? Always.
Yeah.
That's just a forecast, though. I'm not telling you that's what it is. Ask me again on before November 9th, and I probably will tell you it's a must-win because you got to turn it around. That you have to turn it around at that point in the season. But in May, I can't tell you that's a must win.
Well, I'm going to say just because I look at the four road games in between, and I think they're going to have to win that home game.
Do you think the credibility of Ryan Poles would be on the line at that game?
No, come on. Come on, that's like, I mean, you make trades all the time. If you lose the game, you lose the game. I don't think that has anything to do with the credibility.
You would have made that trade, Charlie.
I would have, but think of what we would be talking about if we come in on Friday morning and we're like, Bryce Young just whipped up the Bears and Fields just struggled. I mean,
well, then,
it could have been there.
Then we're talking about a different story. We're talking about Fields not being the guy, possibly. But nobody would be saying, well, we should have not traded that number one pick. Like that would be total 2020 hindsight type stuff.
But could you imagine? Because that will be the storyline. Like, Al will come in there with Kirk when they come to Chicago, and they're going to talk about that trade with the Panthers. And they'll say, you know, what if? And imagine where the Bears are at that spot. The Panthers won't be a winning team next season. They won't. But imagine, you know, that's going to be the number one storyline.
I guess here's the story. If their quarterback play outshines our quarterback play by miles, okay, fine.
Yes.
But if the Panthers just beat the Bears, that's not enough to put Poles' credibility on the line. It would have to be two extremes. They play great at that position, and Bears specifically play poor at that position.
Right here on the home of the Bears, ESPN 1000, Charlie putting Poles on notice. Charlie Bevins putting him on notice. Clip that for YouTube.
I'm calling him later for blinking him down.
Exactly right. I hope that you whisper that in his ear, by the way. You know that the Panthers, that's a must-win game there, Ryan. All right, put you on hold. It'll be with Black and Abdallah. Hang on, please. What?
Clip? Well, it's me, so I'm stammering the entire time. I'm like, Ryan.
Hey, Charlie, did I hear you early this morning? Did you say that my credibility's on the line? Well, we'll put you on with Black and Abdallah. Hold
on. Okay, we've got 30 seconds left in the break.
running away. You can't run away from the GM.
Oh, you can backpedal if you have to.
Well, you've done it.
Of course.
And that's why Jesse's the fastest man in Northbrook.
All right, Charlie. Running backwards.
All right, Charlie.
All right, the Bears will play two Thursday night games as allowed by the new rules set by the NFL. Those Thursday night games, of course, mean a shortened week. But as we talked about last year and earlier today, that's two mini-buys. Shot or no shot, two Thursday night games is going to have a tangible impact on the overall win-loss record for the Bears.
I'm going to say, okay, you're asking if it's going to have an impact, positive or negative?
Correct.
I'm going to say shot. Yes. Those games tend to have an impact. And I am basing everything on what they did after their last Thursday game. Didn't they play the Patriots the next one? Wasn't that the great game?
That was a Monday night game.
Okay. But either way, anytime we see extra time, they've done pretty well. I'm going to say it's a shot. And it's a positive impact.
I was going to ask you, like, which way would you say it's positive? Positive for me because it's the opponents that they face.
That's a good point.
Like the Bears should beat Chico and the Commanders, right?
Right.
Should. it's the NFL, but I believe that they can go on the road and win that game because they should have won the one here last year.
Right.
That was so embarrassing, yeah. Man.
That was.
Then, by the way, that was the changing of, in one way or the other, that was the changing of the season. At that point, yeah, after that game,
it was played for the number one pick.
Yeah, well, Getsy was like, okay, you know what? Enough of this. We're trying to keep him in the pocket. He can't get the ball down the field. Run. And changed.
Yeah. You're right.
It changed. So I'll say it is a, and phrase the question again, it is a positive. Thursday football,
yeah, it'll have a tangible impact, either positive or negative.
Also, J-Hood, you're onto something here, because they play the Commanders and they play the Panthers, okay?
Yeah.
Two winnable games, but who do they play 10 days later? The Vikings?
And the Lions.
And the Lions. You need those 10-day slots there. So I agree with you, positive impact.
So I would say positive. You need that momentum, right? If you use those two teams as a stepping stone, the Commanders and the Panthers, okay.
Yeah. And two winnable games with 4 days off. And then you play two tough teams with 10 days off.
This league does not care about the player.
No. No. Can they flex into a third Thursday night game?
They can flex Thursday games this year.
But you can't play three, can you?
No.
I don't think so.
That's the Al Michaels rule, though, the flexibility.
Right.
Unhappy with the schedule, bitching about it. There's no way. There's no way. Eric, could you imagine me with the UIC Flame just like, you know what? I just don't like this schedule. You know, we're just playing, you know, a little mercy.
I imagine Al gets to choose. He just will text.
Oh, my God.
With a month out, or, you know, there had to be like at least 2 weeks or something. He'll just text the ABC producer, or I'm sorry, Amazon producer, hey, I want this game. And then that happens.
Oh, my God.
That's Al. He gets to do what he wants.
And his special pillow every hotel he goes to. That's a true story. Charlie.
All right, let's do a quick one. The Bears play a lot of cold weather games in December this year. They have home games against the Lions, they're at the Browns, and then home against the Cardinals and Falcons, and then they close out on the road against Green Bay. Shot or no shot, this late season Bear weather against a couple warm weather teams will be enough of an advantage to boost the Bears into the playoffs.
If they're in the hunt before that, I say shot.
Let's not do the Bear weather, please.
Well,
it's 2023. I mean, let's not do that. Let's not do Bear weather, please.
If you don't think it has an impact on a team like the Arizona Cardinals, come on.
There is no bear weather, Jesse.
I think there are moments.
This is a 25-year-old argument.
I think there are moments these dome teams or desert teams come in December. Has to have an impact.
Did you say desert teams? Is there a team in New Mexico?
I mean, I know. I understand Arizona has the big stadium dome, but still, they're not used to this.
Jesse, there is no Bears weather.
I disagree. And
Jesse, did you see warm weather teams in December beat our ass?
Well, that's because we're really bad sometimes.
No, like in the mix. We're in the playoffs. Like in the mix and still lose. Like, there's no Packer weather. There's no Bears weather.
Well, this is why you picked the Falcons to win here.
I have it down as a loss.
I'm more likely to see the Falcons win here than the Cardinals. Cardinals are not winning that game here. No way.
It's only because you don't believe in Kyler Murray, and I get that.
Yeah, I don't believe in him at Soldier Field during bear weather.
Don't start with the bear weather.
The future former Cardinals quarterback, Kyler Murray?
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Bear weather. There's no bear weather.
I disagree when it comes to certain teams.
I think they do fine, no matter who it is. Cold weather, warm weather, I think they do just fine, thank you.
I'm going to look up the Arizona Cardinals schedule.
All right, that'll
be
fine.
That could be their only bad game of the year for all I know.
Bear weather. That's why I can't wait to leave my coat in the car in Arlington Heights.
That's
right.
Come
on, hon, let's go. Coat in the car, 75 degrees, climate controlled. You know, get my pizza, make my bets, and then sit down in a nice, warm dome in December. Can't wait.
All right, here's the Arizona Cardinals.
Let's not do that. Let's go around the NFL. That's coming up next. He's going to start with this. He's going to do the old wind-up. All right, buddy, here we go.
Let's go win or loss to the Arizona Cardinals schedule.
Around the NFL. Next on Cap and J-Hood.
Can't wait.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap and J-Hood show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts to come and then he falls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Woo-wee!
Time to go around the National Football League right here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. Jesse's in for Cap today. Still to come, Courtney Cronin will talk to us about the Bears' schedule and some NFL news and notes at 8:35. With more, here's Charlie Bevins. Charlie?
All right. This is something I was thinking about last night and something I kind of think about every year. There's so much pomp and circumstance around the NFL schedule release, yeah. But sincerely asking, like, where does this schedule release rank in terms of the offseason events? Because I think the draft is the number one thing that happens in the offseason, but yeah. Is the schedule release ahead of free agency? Is it behind free agency? Like, where does it rank for you guys? Is it the top three?
No, it's got to be behind. As I said yesterday, it'd be one thing if they were revealing the opponents as well as the dates and times, but the fact that we already know the opponents to the point of knowing whether they play them at home or on the road, I can't put last night ahead of free agency. No way.
So, here you go. You want an answer? Here's sure. An answer. Charlie, it starts with the NFC-AFC title game, followed by opening night, followed by the Super Bowl.
I mean offseason.
Followed by the free agency, followed by the schedule release.
I don't know, wild card weekend I might put up there.
Wild card weekend should be in there.
But he meant the offseason.
I know what he meant.
What does the draft ring for you, though? You didn't mention the draft.
Oh, yeah. Draft. Draft would be before...
Watching half your Bulldogs get drafted.
So the draft would be after opening night, and then the Super Bowl's fourth. No, seriously, so when we take a look at this schedule release, it's not a major event for Jesse and I. It's not. But, I mean, it's a signature event for the NFL, and you can't ignore it because...
It's become a signature event.
Yeah, and that's only because now people want to know ahead of time, okay, this is the day when we find out how much money I'm going to spend on flights.
Right.
Or where am I going to be? Or where, you know, and also for bars, too. Where the party's going to be? And how they get set it up and everything else. So I think that is significant in that way, but it's low on my list. It's interesting, but I have the NFC-AFC title game first. I don't know, Charlie, why you thought I was going to give you a serious answer to that. I mean,
you never know.
I mean, that's the beauty of me. I was going to give you a serious answer on that, but as you well know, it's interesting because there's going to be some, especially from some of these schedules, traveling to London. Oh, they're going to be in London? Okay, let's take a look at some flights.
You know what's interesting also is I looked at the Bears' website, I think, last night before it was announced, and there was a whole disclaimer about the flexing part of it.
Yeah.
Game times can be changed on a moment's notice. They had a whole disclaimer where you buy tickets. So you know if you're buying tickets, your game might get moved tonight or noon or whatever the case may be. So I thought that was interesting.
Charlie.
Yeah, so Caps Lions are playing week one, the Thursday night kickoff game against the Chiefs.
I think we call them Caps Lions.
Is the NFL, so they don't have like one of the best quarterbacks the NFL can market. So is this really just the NFL telling us that they think the Lions are the team to beat in the NFC?
I think anytime we see a team that's in prime time more than three or four times, the NFL is saying, hey, this is a team to watch. Now, sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. But I think they look at the Lions and say, okay, this is a team to look at, especially how they played last year.
It's 100% what the league thinks about the Lions, but I'm still surprised they did it because the Lions just don't have that marquee name to them. Even if they're on the upswing, maybe they won't in a few years. But you would think opening night would have been the Chiefs versus fill in the blank, the Bills, the Eagles rematch. I do think they play each other later in the season, the Eagles and Chiefs. I'm surprised they're sending the Lions out there, but I do think it's an indication what the league thinks of them.
I think it also is a surprise to the average Lions fan, too.
And the Lions themselves.
Yeah, I think they're just like, us?
Us?
Me? Oh, well, thank you.
We thought only Shea followed us.
The NFL thinks you're cute. Me? Thank you.
My man over here thinks you're cute.
I mean, think about that motivation, though. They've chosen us. How bad are they going to want to beat the Chiefs on opening night to say that franchise has kind of arrived?
Roger Goodell's in my DMs, thinks I'm pretty.
It's going to be interesting.
Here's Charlie Bevis. Charlie?
Okay. Here's my impression of Roger Goodell, and he's pitching the primetime games to the networks. Do you like bad football?
Ooh.
How about the Raiders five times on primetime?
I mean, that's a lot.
Is that just to show the Vegas Strip skyline during the broadcast? Why are they on five times?
There's something wrong there. Like, okay, so
we just got through saying the league thinks well of the Lions. What are they thinking of the Raiders?
That's not a major market, even though we talk so highly about going to Vegas. And that's not a major market, not a major media market. It is not Las Vegas.
It's not.
But I mean, so you want to keep pushing Garoppolo out there until he finally retires? Look at the handsome Jimmy Garoppolo. You want him on your primetime screen. The ladies will love him. Like, no, that team is not. This is why you got flexibility. Maybe you see what they do originally, and then you can just take them off and put them at 325 where they belong. You know, the late game it's buried on the red zone.
Wouldn't the argument be they want to showcase Las Vegas? But it's like, I've seen The Hangover. Like, I know what Vegas is. I know what it's about. I don't need to, like, see it every, five times on primetime.
I think I know what to expect from Raiders football. Undisciplined and underachieving. Do I want to see that five times?
I got a question for you. Did the Raiders break David Carr, or did David Carr let the Raiders down?
You mean Derek?
I mean, Derek Carr.
The Raiders let Derek Carr down.
I agree.
Yeah.
I actually like Derek Carr.
Yeah. Derek Carr has put up some tremendous numbers, but he became the Philip Rivers of football. And here's what I mean by Philip Rivers. So, I don't know if you ever noticed this, Jesse, but when Rivers was playing for the Chargers, he'd be right against it. Like at 5:55, 6 o'clock, they'd be down 10 points, no timeouts, and 5:55, down 10, okay? No timeouts, and he gets into the end zone for a touchdown. Now they get the ball back, and all of a sudden, it's an opportunity for the Chargers to win the game. Boom, interception. So long, everybody. Now 60 minutes, except for the West Coast.
My mom's waiting for 60 minutes to come on, and there's a Charger comeback that comes up short.
It was uncanny how often that was the last game before 60 minutes, and then again, running for his life, game on the line. He needs a touchdown to tie or win. And what would happen? Interception, boom, right in the morning safer.
The Chargers were kind of the AFC's version of the Lions. Just they would absolutely let you down in the end if you were a fan. Now they've turned the corner a little bit, but that's what they were for a while under Philip Rivers. You're right.
And that's who Derek Carr became, because they kept it was always him falling behind, the team falling behind, trying to rally in the fourth quarter, trying to get the game won, and they would fall short because of interception or
and you're right,
whatever.
They played a lot before 60 minutes last. They were the late game, and they played some bad games last year, the Raiders.
Yes.
And somehow they won a few that later that you didn't think they were going to win, but they were bad for a bunch of weeks.
Bring the music down for a second. Rivers, back to pass. Is Tim interception? Interception.
Oh, heck.
And the ball game is over. Well, coming up next, 60 minutes, followed by the equalizer. Except on the West Coast. So long, everybody. And then right into, Anderson Cooper.
And then Black gets really excited. He loves 60 minutes.
Give us another. You got some other news?
Yeah, I got a bunch. Right. The NFL knows its audience, I think, as we've talked about. There are four teams who have zero primetime games. The Texans, the Cardinals, the Falcons, and the Colts. Hats off to you, NFL. I don't want to watch those teams.
Fair.
Maybe I want to watch Anthony Richardson, but everything else, I'm good.
I'm shocked they went back to the well with the Bears and Commanders. I am really shocked by that.
So Al will be mad?
Yeah. I don't see any difference. I think it's the exact same score.
Just for clarification, do you know, Charlie, Jets six times?
It looks like the Jets are five times, and so are the Giants.
Giants are, they were kind of a fun team last year.
They got the Sunday night football game against Dallas week one.
Are we thinking the Jets are going to blow up? Is this experiment going to blow up, just like when Favre went there?
That's the hope.
They do have a good defense, or they did last year.
Yeah, that's the hope.
We'll see.
I hope this is this guy, his predecessor, Favre, going there trying to win a championship, and then boom, done.
And then, Rodgers, he can't control the narrative like he did in Wisconsin.
Once you're a Jet, what is it? What is it, Jay Moore, about the Jets?
When you're a Jet, you're a Jet.
Yes. Once you're a Jet, you're a Jet all the way. There you go. I don't expect a lot there.
I don't either.
Playoffs, but I don't expect a lot.
What, you expect them to make the playoffs?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a lot then.
No. But no, it's the typical Aaron Rodgers. Well, it's the typical Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs and out.
But when you think about the Jets making the playoffs, that's quite the accomplishment for that franchise.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I don't think he's winning a Super Bowl.
No. Well, he had his one. That's enough.
Right.
That's enough.
Right.
That's Around the NFL right here on ESPN 1000. Courtney Cronin with the latest on the Bears and their schedule as well. Cap and Jay Hood with Jesse in for Cap. You're listening to the home of the Bears, ESPN 1000.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The Bears' schedule was released, and they will begin the season against the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love in week number one. The Bears will also play four primetime games, including two on Thursday Night Football against the Washington Commanders in week five and Carolina Panthers in week 10. Something else with the Bears that you got to know about. Do you know that Blekit Abdallah today will talk to the general manager of the Bears, Ryan Poles? That's at 11:20 today. How about that? You going to be tuning in?
I will absolutely be tuning in. I'll be sitting right here in the studio listening.
Oh, I'm sure you will. I can run a pace bus through that question and that answer, by the way. Anyway, in baseball, the Royals beat the White Sox and water is wet by the score of 4-3.
Oh, my God.
Tune in.
The Sox lost 3 out of 4 against the Kansas City Royals. Meanwhile, the Cubs will be playing the beginning of a long road trip, right?
Yep. They got the Twinkies.
That's a tough one. 3-game series against the Minnesota Twins.
They have a tough rest of the month. They really do.
The Nuggets advanced in the Western Conference Finals 125-100 over the Phoenix Suns. The Boston Celtics stayed alive with a 95-86 win over the Philadelphia 76ers. They will play Game 7 on Sunday. Jay Moore.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
Keep your beak out of this.
Courtney Cronin, National Chicago Bears reporter for ESPN.
I think you have to temper expectations if you are a Bears fan, just given everything that this team had to kind of undo.
Breaking down the Bears and the latest NFL storylines.
Team transcendent quarterback Russ is not this guy. You know, he's very legacy conscious. He wanted to go to Denver and build something and win a Super Bowl there.
Courtney Cronin with Cap'n J Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Glad to have you with us here on this Bears Friday. The schedule has been released, and we're talking about it here on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with Jesse Rogers in for Cap. I'm Jay Hood. Still to come, Alex Brown will join us at 9, but now we go to the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Courtney Cronin joins us here, covers the Bears for ESPN and ESPN.com. She joins us on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Courtney.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good, doing Courtney. Well. As soon as the schedule was released, what stood out most about what you saw from the Bears schedule?
The amount of primetime games a three-win team had, and you include the 3:25 starts, which I know sometimes, like, there's a national game there, and then there's the secondary audience, but that's pretty impressive because, you know, the Chiefs game's going to probably be a national one, and then, you know, Green Bay to start the season will be in that time slot. There's a lot of intrigue around this team. Of course, market size, being in Chicago helps, but the quarterback in his trajectory here in year three, there was a, I don't know, I think it was Peter Schrager's thing I was watching. He had one of the scheduling guys from the NFL on, and he was asking about teams that you might be a little surprised to see how many primetime games they got, and the Bears were one of them because they're looking at the promise of this team and where they could potentially go in 2023, and it's not that they can go and win a Super Bowl, but they might be more adept at playing football and putting out a good product in games. So I was a little surprised to see that. But then again, last year they had multiple primetime games and there was a lot more unknown.
Yeah,
so I guess that's kind of the way that things go with this team.
Yeah, there's still a couple of TBDs, but when less than half your games right now are at noon, that's pretty interesting. Going to your point, Courtney, they're going to be put set front and center in the NFL, just like the Lions we were talking about. So I think it's more of an indication that it's Chicago and it's the Bears and it's Justin Fields than what the league actually thinks the Bears will be. They're just an interesting viewing option these days around the country, really.
Yeah, and they have a national fan base. I mean, that's, we know that just seeing the way that Bears fans travel, especially like if you think about that Chargers game, that should be a nice trip if Bears fans are looking for a game on the schedule to try to plan, hey, there's a weekend in LA later in the year in November, might be a good one to go to. And I remember covering Minnesota out there a few years ago, and there was a lot of purple. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that same sort of thing happen again. And it's a national fan base. I mean, the Bears brand as one of the charter franchises of the NFL carries strong, even when they're not a successful team. And you're right, Jesse. I mean, it's Justin Fields. It's what makes this team interesting. You know, the draft, the number one, trading the number one draft pick, getting DJ Moore in here, reworking this roster. People want to see how that turns out. And I don't think that anybody's projecting, by the way the schedule was made, that, wow, this is a team that everybody expects to be contending for a playoff spot. But it's a team that's going to have a lot of interesting elements to it. And getting to see those play out in front of a national audience could mean more eyeballs on the product.
Courtney Cronin covers the Bears for ESPN and ESPN.com. She joins us on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. Read Courtney's piece on ESPN.com. Just click the Bears and you can see the layout of how Courtney looks at the Bears' schedule. One thing that I can point out in the column that you wrote is talking about the NFC North. So, indeed, going 0-6 in the North was hard to watch last year, but the team is rebuilding. So, can you identify where the Bears could be able to capitalize in NFC North? I mean, there's a couple of, you have at least three wins there, right?
Yeah, I think it's safe to say going 3-6 in division play shouldn't be like an insurmountable task. But starting out the season against Green Bay at home, a 3:25 start, I know it's 4 months away. Don't put too much stock into the lines, but mm-hmm. the Bears have opened up as a 2.5-point favorites against the Packers. I don't know the last time that happened. It certainly helps that for the first time since 1990, they're going to be seeing a quarterback that's not Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers. So Jordan Love is behind the eight ball compared to where Justin Fields is. Justin Fields is entering year three of being a starting quarterback in the NFL. Jordan Love's going to have his second start, and it's going to come at Soldier Field. So I'm really excited about what the prospect of that game is going to look like 2.5-3 months from now, and when we learn a little bit more about Jordan Love in training camp, does he look like he's putting the pieces together? And also, the same thing said for Justin Fields. Like, how does he look in this offense? It's not a new offense, but it's an offense that's got a lot of pieces with it. That could be one of those circle the calendar, have a lot of eyeballs on that product sort of game. And for the Bears to get off to a 1-0 start, we know that, you know, even though they lost in Green Bay last year, the confidence that wild game in the monsoon gave them against the San Francisco 49ers, where they won, going up against another quarterback that had a ton of questions around him. I just remember there was a sense that, hey, this season might turn out to be a train wreck, but at least they're feeling like they are capable of winning. They've shown that they can grind out wins. The hits principles showed up in that game, of course, with the peanut punch and Jaquan Brisker's first turnovers of his career happening really early. I remember those sorts of moments, and I think that you can look and say, if you can beat Green Bay there, you've got Minnesota coming to town in a few weeks after for their early season divisional matchup, and then maybe Detroit on the road. I mean, I know they played terribly at Detroit last year. It was one of the worst performances from their defense all season. Mm-hmm. I'd like to believe that you can have two home games against division opponents where this Vikings defense is going to look a lot different than last year because of how many pieces they got rid of. And we don't know if Kirk Cousins in this offense, if it was just magic of these one score games or if they're going to regress to the mean. So three wins there, that's acceptable. I think that should be the goal for this team no matter what.
I got to go back to opening day. They have to beat the Packers. They, for the first time in what, two decades, they have an advantage.
They have an 8-game losing streak going on right now, yeah. Jesse, against Green Bay.
Yeah, but I would say first time in two decades they have an advantage at the quarterback position, something like that. Mm-hmm. Whatever, and it's game one, and more importantly, it's at home. And Jordan Love, I mean, that's why I love the fact they're playing Green Bay first and last, because you would expect Jordan Love to be a lot better in Green Bay in the final week of the season than in the first week. This is where you take advantage of a young quarterback if you're a team on the rise. You can't lose opening day at home to the Packers. You just can't.
No, especially when there's this much turnover. Like, this is their fresh start that they get, them, the Vikings, the Lions, anybody that's not Green Bay. And because the NFC North is so unknown this year, I know a lot of us are projecting that it might be Detroit's for the taking. That makes I don't think it's any secret as to why Detroit's on the Thursday night opener against the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, Dan Campbell's squad, this rebuild's now 3 years in. They're a team that had Seattle not lost, or had Seattle not won in Week 18 when they got flexed into primetime football, Sunday night football primetime slot with Green Bay. Maybe they were a playoff team last year. So there's definitely a lot to like about watching NFC North football this year without Aaron Rodgers. And certainly if you're in the division as one of these teams, you see an opportunity, and the Bears just happen to get a very early opportunity to start righting the ship a little bit and evening out some of these very lopsided rivalries.
Courtney, as always, we appreciate your time. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You guys too. Talk to you soon.
It is Courtney Cronin on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Mother's Day gifts ideas from Jesse Rogers. Next on Cap and J-Hood.
Cap and J-Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
On Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Cap and J-Hood on the Home of the Bears, ESPN 1000. We'll have Bleck and Abdallah. We'll crosstalk with the guys coming up at 10 o'clock. They will have Ryan Poles, the general manager of the Bears, come up at 11:20. Carmen and Yurko from 12 to 2. Waddle and Sylvie, 2 to 6. Shay Norling will be in at 6, right into White Sox baseball as they take on Dusty's Astros, a 6:30 pregame right here on the Home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. Jesse, I understand you have a new book out. Could you tell us about it?
Jay Hood, I didn't think you'd ever ask.
Yes.
I really didn't think you'd ever ask. We're going to hold it up. Yes, this is brand new for you Twitch people out there. It's
Twitch
called
people, yeah.
The Franchise. And this is a series of books put out by Triumph. And Bruce Miles and myself, who wrote for the Daily Herald, wrote about the Chicago Cubs. The Chicago Cubs, will you read it?
Of course I will. Like your other book, I read that too.
It's called The Franchise. Look who wrote the foreword.
It's David Ross.
David Ross wrote the foreword.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I can't criticize him just because he wrote the foreword to the book.
Yes.
It's two different things. And it's just coming out now for Mother's Day and then, of course, Father's Day next month. So The Franchise, Amazon, other places. I got to commend Bruce. He did the bulk of it.
What about you? What did
he
you
did
do?
The bulk of it.
What's it? What's your part? Hey, buddy.
Here's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
We got to it was a kind of a blank slate. We got to write what we wanted to write about. They didn't, like, assign us.
Uh-huh.
So I wrote about Andre Dawson. I was able to go back to my youth. I picked up the phone, called Andre Dawson. He had an unusual path to the Cubs, right?
Yes.
Wrote about that. I wrote about pranksters in the Cubs clubhouse. And it was so much fun. Sutcliffe, right?
Yeah.
Obvious. Ryne Sandberg. Prankster in that era. Would never have known. Gary Matthews is telling me stories. Sutcliffe's telling me stories. So I wrote about great pranksters. I wrote about the 1997 0-14 start the season. I made players, and Riggleman was the manager, go down memory road for that.
Oh, my God.
So it was just fun to have a blank slate and write whatever we wanted to write about. Bruce did a great job with the managers, third baseman over the decades. So it's out. Or it's going to be out early next month, but you can pre-order.
So you pre-order right now. You say it's The Franchise.
Yes.
Written by you and Bruce Miles. Forward written by David Ross, you say.
There you go.
A curated history of the Northsiders.
Yes.
A Franchise. Available on pre-order right now.
Thank you, Jay Hood.
Thank you very much. I'll ask you in 8 months exactly what book it is, because I'll forget. And so you have some ideas. So that's one Mother's Day gift.
Well, I had this thought earlier, and I want to get your take.
Sure.
Like, at this point in my marriage, and I don't know yours and other people out there, when it comes to, like, Mother's Day or even other holidays that you're supposed to get a gift for your significant other,
sure.
Do you just, like, hey, like, we have some separate bank accounts, right, and stuff like that. Like, here's my point.
Wait a minute now.
Well, she's got her card. I got my card, you know. And at this point, I'm just like, get whatever you want, and I'll pay for it. I mean, in the end, it's all our money. But you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Normally, I'd go out to the store and pay for it.
Right.
So she kind of started it. She goes, do you mind if we get this certain thing? I'm like, yes, just do it.
Yeah.
Like, it was her idea. I'm like, go get it, and I'll technically pay for it. You know what I mean? So she got these flowers that last a year. but they're really expensive.
Wow. Like real flowers?
Are they orchids?
They're like roses that last a year. I don't know what the deal is. So she ordered them, and I like technically bought them. Yeah. So my point is, we're at that point where we can suggest our own gift and almost get our own gift.
Yes.
And I like that.
Is that how you handle it, Jay Moore? Because if your wife has everything, okay, maybe sometimes it's difficult to determine exactly what she wants. So you probably should maybe ask her, and then maybe have it. That gives you an idea, correct?
Yeah, that's pretty much how it works.
Yeah, after you. And what's the start of that? 10 years in?
Probably sooner than that.
5 years in?
Five,
really?
Yeah.
But so we're at the point where I don't even have to ask. She just starts suggesting, can you just get these flowers?
Yeah.
So not only did I not get them, she got, like, it wasn't my idea, and I didn't even execute it, but I technically paid for it.
Yeah. It gets you off the hook, too.
Right.
Okay, so I got Peacock something I thought that you'd like. It was one of those roses where it's like it's rose gold. It's just one long stem rose, right, in a box. And I was like, yeah, I got you this. I know you like flowers, but here's something that's going to last forever. A rose gold rose. She opened the box. She goes, oh, that's nice. What else are we doing today? And it's like, apparently the worst gift I ever gave her.
Because
usually she like relish it. Oh, thank you very much. No, thank you. Just like, what else we got?
I remember what you told me yesterday about her sort of catch phrase or word when she's really not that interested. I thought she was going to open and just say, oh, wow.
Yeah,
right?
Wasn't exactly.
That's what you said. Oh, wow. You know it wasn't a great gift.
Yeah, it's like, oh, wow. And it's like, what else are we doing today?
Right.
It's like, well, I thought you'd like, you like roses. Here's one that you don't have to worry about dying after
That's
5 days.
That's why I got a rose that apparently lasts a year. I don't know how. I don't know why.
AI,
and I don't know why it was 3 digits, you know what I'm saying?
Everything's not AI. For God's sake. I mean, that's the new answer now to everything. Everything's not AI. Iverson's got to be like, man, how can I get down on this?
Right.
Everyone's saying AI all the time. I'm sure Allen Iverson's how can I get down with this? Can I get my initials in a place where if someone says I can get paid? I'm sure that's what he's thinking, Charlie. Yeah. Like, that, there's a way to do that. Like, everyone says artificial intelligence.
There's going to be a whole generation, like it's a generational divide of people who say AI mean Allen Iverson. And then there's going to be people like me who say AI and mean artificial intelligence.
That had never heard of Allen Iverson.
That's the problem.
I heard of Allen Iverson. Come on.
Coolest dude never won a championship.
Yeah.
I know him well.
He's a great player.
Yeah.
He was always that guy who would say pound for pound he was the best in the NBA.
From the Nuggets.
Yeah, all my Allen Iverson memories are from the Nuggets.
You gotta go back, man.
Yeah, hey.
I'm aware.
I gotta love AI. AI is just like, I ain't never coming off the bench. It's like, he could not accept not being a starter.
Or practicing.
Yeah.
Talking about practice.
No, yeah, we're talking about practice, man. I ain't never coming off the bench. Like, some of these great players had a hard adjustment with that. Carmelo Anthony, the same way.
Yeah.
Like, off the bench? Me? Yeah. You're an older cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to have to come off the bench.
You were 2 for 20 last game.
Allen probably could have still played, but he got tired of coming off the bench for, like, Memphis and Denver. I think that was the problem.
Wasn't he
there
in Detroit at one point?
Believe that's correct.
He had a weird end of career, like, tour.
He didn't like that.
You know your career's done when you coming off the bench for Scalabrini.
That's what happened, too. That's true. All right, coming up in 2 minutes, we get a chance to talk to the great Alex Brown. I want to know what Alex thinks. Jess, we got to find out what the great Alex Brown
thinks. And also a player's perspective. How do they look at it when they're playing and the schedule comes out? Are they thinking, bringing my friends, my family on this road game, the food in that road? So, like, what does a player think when the schedule comes out like that?
Let's see, get the perspective from Alex Brown in 2 minutes right here on the Home of the Bears, ESPN 1000.